applicants, the applicants. Hi, I'm Helen.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, I was late, I was reading ARPA rules. And he gets absolutely fascinated by them, he can't get away from them.
I'm glad you can pull yourself away.
Yeah, well, but you can pull.
It's okay to tell if you fell asleep.
Was I asleep?
No, definitely not. Okay, good afternoon. This is the meeting of the Surrey County Board of Supervisors Budget Work Session with Veterans Affairs. This is Supervisor Latifah Faisal. With me, I have Supervisor Lisa Hedden, Supervisor Linda Merkin, Director of External Operations Sandra King, Assistant Auditor. I'm really struggling with words today. I don't know why. Lisa Markley, Director of Veterans Affairs, Brett McLean, and Commissioner Beth Hartman. And on the phone, we have Auditor, County Auditor Lucy Martin, Director of Internal Operations Alyssa Wignall, Commissioner Nick Prisigno. Is there anyone else on the phone? No? All right. Well, thank you for coming, everybody. And we've just been starting with revenues.
Okay. All right. Well, the first one is kind of a placeholder there. It's at 50. I'm not sure that we've ever hit that yet this year, but the next one's at 10,000. We have received that. That's the annual allocation for Veterans Affairs from the legislation. And then the last one there is for donations, $100. I believe we've already received that.
So. You've got 200.
Oh, 200.
Already.
Uh-huh. So we're exceeding that.
I want to go back to that top one. The very first line item is a community foundation grant. That's actually not going to happen, so I'm zeroing that out for the current year or for FY22, and I'll take it out of the expense also.
Okay.
Brett had told me early on in the year that he would need, or that there was this community grant. How could we run it through his budget? So I'd amended the current year for it, and then according to the information I got today, he said, no, it's not happening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a request that I did make. But,
yeah.
But we had a member / donor that stepped up and took care of that. So.
Oh, okay.
Before on some of these grants, they needed us to kind of run the money through,
mm-hmm.
I guess you'd say, mm-hmm. and then to take care of the items that they were going to get. So that's okay.
Did we just have someone join the conference call?
Yes.
Hi, could you give us your name? Is that Monty?
Monty Woodward.
Well, thank you for joining us, Monty. We're just finishing up the revenues section and moving on to, did anybody have questions about revenues? We're moving on to the expenses.
Okay. Hey, the first one there is for the commissioner. That's pretty much laid out at $75 per month for them attending the monthly meeting. And so $4,500 takes care of that if all five attend every single month all year long. So currently we're at 31% of that budget. So that's kind of that one. The next one is fringe benefits. It's at 39% currently right now. Looking at the actual, I actually made it lower than that at 800. The actual was around 1,000. And that kind of covers meals reimbursed for Veterans Affairs director and the commission will not attend an overnight. Mm-hmm. It's mainly schools and stuff like that, or for me, like when I'm out doing outreach or nursing home visits. Then a lot of the rest of that we skip because the auditor takes care of that, so thank you very much, Lucy, for that. Vehicles, We're at 100.
Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
We're at 137% on the vehicles, and I can explain that. We've had some rodent issues over there in the parking lot, and rabbits like soybean-covered wires, and so they chew on them. And so that's where a lot of that. And so one car has been transferred over here for that reason. So to reestimate this for this year, I would make a change there. I got 400, but I think we better do 500 on the reestimate, and then we could put it down to 300, because we're really on one vehicle instead of two now.
For next year, you can go down to 300.
Yeah, I think we were at 150, and for this year. And so if we was to increase that to 300, I think that would probably price it pretty fine. But right now it's just the maintenance bills that we've had associated with this kind of issue.
So you're down to, how are you guys working that with just you and community services splitting that vehicle out, or how are you doing?
Yeah. And actually on this budget, we have like four shared line items.
Right.
Just to save money. So yeah, we're probably splitting it. Well, VA and general assistance, and maybe there's mental health is one too.
Well, for the current year, but not for next year.
Okay. So then next year it'd just be GA and VA.
Well, yeah, I think so.
So what are you thinking, Lisa? Maybe we should do 400 then?
Yeah, I don't think that would hurt anything.
Okay. Let's go 400 then on that one.
400 and
then 500. Reestimate 500 and then go with 400 for the next fiscal year. That should work. Yep. And next one is office supply. That's a shared one with community services. I propose just leave that the same. We're at 34% right now. $884.34 per year goes out to a MicroPAC license for a VA claims filing, which, oh, by the way, is owned by Tyler now. So that's just an annual. Around May is when that money goes out. Let's say we can stay the same there.
Brett, I have a question. It says office supplies, it says a third of the cost are shared for shredding with community services. So it's you, community services, and who else?
No.
Is it mental health? So will that potentially increase?
Well, see, I'm not really sure how this is all going to change, because she's going to have a local budget.
Right.
I assume she's still going to, I don't know. We're going to have to talk about how that's going to work.
Okay.
As to how she's going to build this out, because she will get reimbursed from the region, but it'll still have to get paid up front.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so that yeah, you're right. That could be one half or one third.
Uh huh.
So we'll see how those changes. The next one then uniform. That's for the commission. We just leave that the same. We're currently at 54%. Marketing. That's a good one to talk about. That's 56%. That's 8,000. We got a little bit of a change, not in money, but just in ideas.
Mm-hmm.
We've had this paper newsletter for about 20 some years. We felt it was time to go to an email newsletter and then use that money for advertising. And boards, you'll see this on the agenda on the 18th. There'll be a contract, and then there'll be a sample sign. I mean, it just kind of happened to me one day at a stoplight that I was behind a Cyride bus, and I read everything about Lisa Hedden, or Lisa, she's a realtor.
Natty.
I read everything on her sign, and I thought, shoot, why don't we have something there for veterans, you know? And so we can't afford a sign on 80 buses. So we selected five. So it's a six-month contract. For five buses, spring and fall. and they'll be parked in the summer.
But they don't charge us.
They're not charging for the summer. They just don't want to take those buses won't be running in the summertime. They'll just run 3 months in the spring, 3 months in the fall. And so we're not asking for any more money to do this. We're just going to change kind of what we're doing. I still get the newsletter out. Now on the newsletter side, we're going to do email. Instead of doing a six pager twice a year, we're going to try to do like a three pager, four times a year.
And still mail it to people who really want to mail.
I'm sure there are a few that
mm-hmm.
You don't make this kind of change without some kind of mm-hmm. issue. So yeah, when those pop up, hey, no problem. We'll make a copy. Stop in, we'll give it to you, or we can mail it to you, like that. So, yep. So that's kind of, so just leave that line item the same. Just note that we're doing different things with it, with the advertising and newsletter. Yep. Postage and mailing, that's a shared one with community services. We're at 37% right now. So, Kind of leave that one alone at 500. Employee mileage and expenses, we're at 37%. Of course, we try to use the county car as much as possible there. I'm just kind of leave that one the same as it was this year, along with communication services. It's at 55%, but that's a saving. That should work out okay. Education and training, we're at 50% currently, and that covers spring and fall school and national school for one. So I'm planning on going to that training in June. It's always in June every year. Yeah.
Where does that get held?
Well, they change it around. This next year, it's in Texas.
Oh.
The next line item is a shared line item. It's a percentage of the copier cost with community services. We're currently at 18%, and I would propose we just leave that the same at 400. Medical care, kind of what we're using that, we try to enroll as many people as we can in VA healthcare, but this is kind of used for dental and vision. For those that don't have those insurances, they qualify. So I propose that we would leave that at 500. And the next two are pretty much placeholders. With medicine and food and provisions. We've just always had $50 in there over the years. We do get donations for gift cards that we hand out to veterans for food. That probably helps in that area. The rent payment line item, we're currently at 27%. Say we leave that the same as this year, and then utilities also at 1,000.
You've never gotten anywhere near spending 4,000 on
rent. Well, the 3 year average, I guess, is 2,060. At one time, that was 12,000, and we were using every penny of it. But that's a long time ago.
So what is happening differently?
Well, it just tapered down. I mean, at one time it was 12,000. We're down to 10. We're down to 8.
But maybe do veterans know that's available?
Well, they do, and we've even increased the income guidelines that make have so that more would be eligible for it, but then we've also really put the foot pedal down on federal claims.
So that's what I said. Is there rental assistance at the federal level, or is there a way for them to access rent
No, but if they can get a pension claim or a service connected to, you know, for compensation for disability they have, then they can pay their own rent. They're over our income guidelines, you know, like way over. So we've increased that in the last year by $2.1 million.
Okay.
Just in Story County.
Okay.
So a lot of these things are a little bit of a piece of the pie, I guess. You know, outreach, getting the word out. We could probably increase, and the only other thing you can do is increase the income guidelines to assist more with rent, and that number would increase if we did that.
Mm-hmm. The need is getting met. You know, what you seem to say was the need is getting met through the disability.
Right, right.
Okay, so.
Yeah. So that's something that we could always look at from time to time. How many denials are we doing here and why?
I would be interested in that.
You know, why?
Yeah.
And we can. And we kind of did that study a couple of years ago, and we could take a look at that again. That's kind of always fun for me to look at and see, you know, why are we denying a lot of folks on the rent. But,
are you gonna?
Yeah, 4,000 is probably where it's been.
How long do you think? How long has it been at 4,000?
Well, looks like in 2022, 3-year average is around 2,000. So I'd say maybe we could look back at 4 years ago to see. It was probably there too, I would say. I'd say probably 4 or 5 years it's probably been sitting right there.
Gotcha.
And not using it all. Not only is it that high of a number.
So in 18, he used $5,800.
In 18?
Mm-hmm. So Brett, we are getting ready to start partnering a little bit stronger with Iowa State and their veterans center there.
Mm-hmm.
Do student veterans, do they ever qualify for this? I mean, I'm just wondering if we start doing more outreach with that population that we've not really done much with, is it possible that some of them would qualify for this?
Well, for that, we'd have to change the policy, because right now it's mainly for working.
Gotcha.
Veterans.
Okay.
Otherwise, you know, if you take a look at, say there's 1,000 student veterans over there, and if they were eligible for this, then we'd need a lot more money.
Some of them are working and going to school,
yeah.
So I just didn't
right.
know,
yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
know what the criteria was.
Yeah, it's mainly for not an ongoing basis, two times a year, you know. Person down their luck, they lose a job, it's just to help them get back up.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's just really a temporary solution. And that's what we get them in. Hey, what do we have that we can file for a federal benefits?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my main focus.
Right.
They have more money in the state, and the state has more money in the county, so why not use the state benefits and federal benefits? Use them first, so
that's going to
work. Now, in the next three, I kind of want to make some adjustments to what I proposed originally. On transportation, we're at 88% right now. We had to help with getting a guy that was blind down to VA, so that's kind of what that's about. But I would do a re-estimate at 75 and then move FY23 from 50 to 75. We don't have to usually do that too often, but going forward, we probably should make those two adjustments. And then funeral services, I can never figure this one out. We've gone anywhere between 7,000 and 8,000. I think 1 year we were at 12 or something. The overall average is 7,000, is around 7,000.
There's really no predicting this.
So if you wanted, you know, if you wanted to, you could do that at 7 or 8 or anywhere in between on that one. But yeah, I can't predict that one. On the care of grace, however, we do have a lot of veterans out there that have been missed on the on the grave markers that the county has. The county has, we call them grave markers, but they're really flag holders. They're a brass rod with a round marker, and in the back of the marker is a place to put a flag. So we've missed some. We miss them because the family sometimes don't have a military funeral, so we don't know about them. We don't know about the funeral if we don't go through American Legion, VFW, don't have military honors like that. So I wanted to increase that one by about 500, make that 35 as a re-estimate, as well as FY23. Just that we need to do a little catch up here on those markers. And we have that. We don't have, some counties do have a theft problem with those markers. I don't know of one. I don't know of one here. But lawnmowers sometimes take them out.
Oh, sure.
So we got some of those. We got some that get damaged. But so far, we haven't had any that just come up missing. So we're very fortunate with that.
Those aren't out all the time, are they? Don't you put them out for Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and?
So they're put out all the time except for one cemetery. There's a cemetery on Duff Avenue that's owned by someone in Des Moines, and they only want them out for 72 hours on Memorial Day.
That's
so the day before Memorial Day, and the day after, and then they have to be picked up. All the other cemeteries, we put them out there, and they're there to stay. So that's a bit of a dilemma because we're talking 100 of these at the cemetery down on Duff to get picked up and get stored at the American Legion in Ames, and then they got to sort them and get them out to the. Some say World War II, Korea, Vietnam. So now you know. This is a mess.
Is that what showed up at a thrift store in Story City a few years back?
Not from there, but what had happened there was it was a county down south, and what they did, the VA director was just thinking too much, maybe, but he thought, well, I'll just put all these grave markers at the funeral homes. And as they bury veterans, they can just, and then tell me later on who, where, and when. Well, what happened was they sold the funeral home. The director died. The kids came in, sold the funeral home and everything in it. Mm-hmm. So somebody comes along and buys these markers. They buy them at the sale. And then the place up in Story City buys them from this guy. And then they're trying to sell them. So that's where that was at. And so myself and a police officer and Story City did. We both went in there. He did the investigation. I showed him where they were at. And since that day, him and I can never set foot into that business because of that. So that's all I.
Sorry to hear that.
So about that, I was in there one time, and that was it.
Oh dear.
So anyway, that's. All I got, besides it's a privilege to move forward another fiscal year serving veterans of Story County and help them with their benefits, with focusing really hard on, you know, filing state benefits and federal benefits for them when they contact us or walk in or they're in jail or they're homeless or they're in a nursing home or something. We find them a lot of different ways. So I'm currently working with one guy that's in jail right now. That I'm gonna be seeing. I'll be seeing him again tomorrow.
Does he have a home to go to when he gets out?
Yep.
Good.
Yeah, he has an apartment. He racked up a lot of charges really, really quick, and it's alcoholism, and it's been alcoholism since 2012, and just stays in that circle, And now he has a lot of charges there, so I don't know. We can get him into an alcohol treatment program or what, you know. So I'm working with him, and we do have some homeless veterans out there. From time to time, we're working with them, and then of course the nursing homes and everything like that. So.
Well, anyway. I know my only question that I had was about the rent, and if that was just kind of looking for some background on there, because you know we know people are struggling to get their rent paid, so I was surprised to see that.
And here's something that I have done and can do. So the commission has the policy that I follow. They write the policy on this. So let's just say everything is fine, but they're over, say their income's over by $100 or something like that. So then I can take those individual cases to the commission and say everything is, they meet the policy just fine, except for if they're a little bit over on income. Would you waive, then they can waive the income guidelines at that part. And normally we're pretty close, we're not, you know, they're not like, if they're over by 1,000, they usually don't try that one. But I try the ones I think that they would approve, you know,
sure.
It makes sense and they would approve. And so sometimes we can do that. And the only other thing is if we did increase the guidelines, if we did increase those guidelines again, we did 10%, I would say 2 years ago.
I think we did
with community services did 10. We did 10. We just kind of opened the door a little bit. So if you wanted to maybe revisit that and do another, if you want to do another 10 and open the door a little bit wider. Or,
if you're seeing a need. If you're seeing that people who are coming to you not able to pay their rent, that you're able to find them assistance other places, then I don't think that's necessary. But if you're finding that you're having to turn people away and there isn't an alternative, I think that's when it would be an appropriate time to have that conversation.
Because, for example, the last one that last week, there was one that I did do it, and his income was $4,000 and his rent was $750. And I know the numbers don't make any sense to us. You know, if you got $4,000, why can't you pay $750, in other words, right? But we can't change the income guidelines for that. And that isn't something I take to the commission unless we've got some, like, if we got a bunch of medical expenses or something they had to pay, you know, or something like that. But he clearly had the money. He just didn't manage the money the way that he should.
Right. And I'm not asking you to justify why you're not spending this either. Don't misunderstand me, please. I just wanted to make sure that you had what you needed, and I understood the numbers that were there.
And we have this on our brochures that we hand out. You know, as veterans do come in, we do talk about, you know, a lot of appointments are, hey, if you have 30 minutes, I can sit down with you and tell you about county, state, and federal benefits that we have. Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, though, the income thing. Okay, nothing county-wide, but now we can look at these other ones.
So. Sure, yeah.
Yep.
Did anybody have questions?
Otherwise,
questions?
We're starting to get out there the last Wednesday of the month to do hometown outreach. Lisa, I think you and I had talked about quite a while ago, and Linda. So we had to shut that down, you know, in March of 20, and so going to try to get back out there and where I could be have a table at City Hall in Zeering for the day, and then the veterans in Zeering can just go there, and they feel pretty comfortable doing that. And I say Zeering because the clerk in Zeering, kind of like she became my assistant. I mean, she's actually making appointments. When I show up, she goes, Greta, we got a 9 o'clock coming in.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
you know, Tom's bringing you coffee at 10, and the guys have it all lined up for me there in Zarin. So that's always fun to be when you have that kind of setup. So we'll try to get back out there now and go as long as we can until things are, but we can't.
Well, thank you.
But anyway, I kind of talked a lot. I want to give Beth, if she has anything she wants to say, or anybody on the phone. I think Monty's still on there, or anybody got anything else to say? Or...
No, just happy to be here.
Sounds like a good budget.
Happy to be here. Okay. Happy to help.
Well, thank you. Thank you all for your service. Thank you for your service on the commission. And for everything that you do to make sure that our veterans are being taken care of. I know the veteran supermarket wasn't as many people as it has been in the past, but I was thrilled to see as many people come as did come. And you know, hopefully we're going to move more towards that.
Yeah.
If we can keep the variant under control, right?
Right.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful afternoon.
Bye, Nick. Bye, Monty.